heard people use the Holy Spirit as a means of getting their own way. It would look something like this. You know, the Holy Spirit came to me last night, and he told me that you guys are not paying your preacher enough. He also said that you should listen to whatever he says without question or doubt. That would be a misuse of the Holy Spirit. Please bow. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. We're just so blessed. Although we have things in this world that are troubling, that are weighing on us, but through it all, we are blessed in you.
Amen.
So we praise you. We thank you. Thank you for hearing us. And Lord, at this time, I pray that you'll be with me, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. It is your word that has power to draw us closer to you. Lord, we want so much to be closer to you. To your glory. May you be praised. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. Jesus is talking to the disciples about him leaving. And sometimes when I read this, I don't fully grasp how painful that must have been to the disciples. I mean, we read it over and over again, but do we really stop and think about, they spent at least 3 years, possibly more, traveling with Jesus, beginning to believe that this is the Messiah. All of their hopes and dreams are pinned to him. And now he's saying he's leaving. And how heartbreaking that would have been to them. Verse 5. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I am going to the one who sent me. And none of you asks, where are you going? Which is interesting because Peter did ask that in chapter 13. Exactly those words. Where are you going? Thomas didn't ask the question. He just said, we don't know where you're going. That's caused a lot of discussion. Matter of fact, some people have been so upset by this that they actually rearranged John's gospel to make it make sense. There are some things we need to be aware of. Number one, John does not care about chronology. He cares about symbols. He cares about the picture that you see of Jesus Christ. Number two, when you start rearranging the Bible, you're going to get into trouble. Here's what Jesus is saying. I think it fits within this time frame, by the way. I think what he's saying is, right now, it's in the present tense, you are not currently asking me where I am going. They are so focused in on their pain. And that's what the word grief means. It means pain. We know that, right? When we experience grief, pain is a good word for that. It says they're so focused in, and what Jesus is trying to do is to get them to focus outward as opposed to inward. Because what happens when we experience grief, we focus inward. And I'm not at all going to try to, grief is hard. There are things that happen in grief that are normal. When I deal with, sometimes I'm called upon to deal with some kids that have lost loved ones and they're in lockup and you're talking to them and they're feeling things like anger, and you say, you know what, that's normal. That's a part of grief. And I think that's important, but I also tell them, look, my only concern is that you don't get stuck there.
Yeah.
Because what happens when we feel that pain, it's just like any part of, even physical, right? I mean, if you have physical pain, all of your effort, is this just me? Have you guys ever hit your finger with a hammer? You don't sit there and go, stupid finger. What'd you do that for? Your whole body is involved. That's what happens when we feel that pain on the inside. We then focus all of our attention on the inside, and the danger is that we'll get stuck there. And so Jesus is saying, look, you guys are focused in on your own pain. Right now, I want you to understand there's a bigger thing. The best way to deal with grief is to get out of yourself and start focusing on others. Now that's hard. It may take a while to get there, but the best way to deal with the pain that you are feeling is to begin to try to help others. Right now, Jesus is saying, I need you to see the bigger picture. He's already told them, I'm going to the Father. You guys should be rejoicing about this. You should be happy. That's how we get over grief, is we focus on other things. Specifically in this context, the things of God. And then he also says, look, I'm telling you the truth. Which is interesting, because does Jesus ever do anything but tell the truth? Okay, so he says this to say, pay attention. I am telling you the truth. It is to your advantage. It is to your profit if I go. What? Because if I go, actually he puts it the other way first. He says, if I don't go, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send the helper. Again, the word helper means one who is called along beside. I love, one of my sources said, in some African countries, it would be translated, the one who drops beside you when you fall. And isn't that a beautiful picture? The Holy Spirit is the one, if you stumble, the Holy Spirit is going to be right by your side to help you back up. And he says, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit doesn't come. And that's caused a lot of bad theology. Some people have said, well, what's going on here is Jesus is saying that he and the Holy Spirit can't work on the earth at the same time. Well, that's interesting, because at his baptism, do you remember this? The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. Were they working on the earth at the same time? Yeah. Throughout his ministry, they're working together at the same time. So what is he talking about? He's talking about fulfillment of Scripture. So, Joel 2. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all men, upon your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy. Now, here's what's interesting about Joel. God had already been in the habit of putting his Spirit in certain people. They're called prophets. But something's going to change. Something's going to happen to where God is going to pour his Spirit upon all men. Not just the prophets. All people. That thing that is going to happen, and we can read the same things in passages like Isaiah 11. When the Messiah comes, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen is that Jesus is going to fulfill the Old Testament. He's going to fulfill all of the requirements of what man is supposed to be. And in that moment, God is going to pour down his Spirit on all men.
That's right.
One of the things that Jesus has to do is to go to the grave, to be resurrected, and go to the right hand of the Father. When that is done, then the Holy Spirit will be poured out. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, this is to your profit, because this is about fulfillment of prophecy. This is going to change everything. The one who is going to drop down beside you will be available to all people.
Praise God.
And isn't that good news?
Amen.
Because every one of us stumble and fall sometimes, don't we? Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And don't we need the Spirit of God to be right there with us, not in a condemning, throwing stones kind of way, which is what the Pharisees expected, but in a let me help you up kind of way. It's to your advantage. The whole old law is going to be fulfilled. Jesus is going to ride up on a cloud, Daniel 7. He is one who is like the Son of Man who rides up on the clouds to the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days will give authority and kingdom to the Son of Man that will last forever. And it's at that moment that the Spirit of God will be poured out. And you and I live in that moment.
That's right.
Verse 8. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because if I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. When he comes, what is the job of the Holy Spirit? He will convict. The word convict probably should be translated expose. And that's usually in a negative way. Kind of like if corruption is exposed. Politicians are exposed. We know what that means. The world will be exposed by the Holy Spirit concerning sin, missing the mark. I like what one of the sources said. It's every departure from the way of righteousness. That pretty much covers it, right?
Right, exactly.
Concerning righteousness, the ability to choose between right and wrong, concerning judgments. Okay, so that's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, what does all that mean? He goes into detail and he says, okay, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Now, I made the statement that the only sin that matters... I made this statement last week, by the way, for those of you who were not here. I'm going to say it again, so you didn't miss out. The only sin that matters is rejection of Jesus Christ. And I know part of us want to go, whoa, wait a minute. There's a whole lot of sin out there. Let's say that you decide that you're going to be faithful to your spouse. And you don't know Jesus Christ. Does it really matter? You're lost. I mean, that may seem blunt, but that's the truth. Let's say that you decide you're not going to ever murder anybody. That's a good plan. That's, you know, good. Don't do that. Don't kill me. I'm all for that. But if you don't know Jesus, if you have rejected Jesus Christ, you can live your whole life never killing anybody, and it doesn't matter because you're still lost.
That's right.
Not believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth to force a decision. Do you accept him or do you not accept him? If you don't accept him, that is the sin that the Holy Spirit is convincing or exposing the world of.
That's right. That's right.
Because the world is happy if you say Jesus is cool. I mean, they're okay with that. As long as you also say, but you know, what this other group teaches, that's okay too. You could say things like, well, there are many paths to God.
No.
That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and nobody gets to the Father but through me.
Praise God.
So the sin that matters, the sin that's going to make all the difference in the world is, do you accept Jesus? Do you believe? Do you put your trust? That's what believe means. Do you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Believing in Jesus always means more than just saying, I like Jesus. Believing in Jesus always involves action. See, I've used this illustration before, but let's say I have up here this old rickety chair. It looks like it's about to fall apart, but if you sneeze, it might just crumble. And I say, you know what? I believe this chair will hold you. I trust this chair will hold you, and you say, you first. Like, I'm not sitting on that thing. Do I really believe it? Belief implies action. The sin of the world is that they do not accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God made flesh, went to the cross, and died so that you and I could be in a healthy relationship with God.
Amen.
Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. And this is interesting, because in verses 9 and 11, it's because they do not believe. In verse 11, it's because he has been judged. Here, it's because you. What seems, I mean, you would expect them to say, because they will no longer see me. But that's not what he says. He says, because you no longer see me. So what he's talking about is the Holy Spirit is about telling the story of Jesus Christ. The story of Jesus Christ is about when it's all said and done and he's gone to the cross and he's gone to the grave and he's been resurrected, then he goes to the right hand of the Father, Daniel 7 again. He is going to the Ancient of Days. You cannot see the Ancient of Days. The whole gospel story involves the fact that Jesus is going to leave this earth. What they believe is evidence that the Christians are wrong is actually evidence that the Christians are right. That's what righteousness means. Right. See, and we see this happening early on, right? I mean, do you remember the story of Stephen? Who testified about Jesus Christ, and they got so angry that the language means that they probably bit him. Can you imagine being angry? I mean, when I was 2, I did that.
Right.
But as an adult, getting so angry, you're actually going to bite somebody? See, the phrase that you normally gets translated, gnash their teeth at him, that probably means they bit him. They take him outside of the city, and they're throwing stones at him. See, I've read that phrase a lot without really getting the impact. So when I had rock fights when I was little, it was in a gravel road. And we picked up these little gravel things and threw them at each other. And they stung, but you know, that's not what happened to Stephen. They are picking up these rocks and they are throwing them at him. And in the midst of that, as he's about to die, he looks up into the sky and he says, I see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father. Notice what doesn't happen in that story. I'm guessing that some of the people probably looked up. I mean, that would be normal, right? Somebody's sitting there and they're being killed and they say, look, I see Jesus and, oh, wow, the heavens are opened up. Everybody's going to go, really? I'm guessing they didn't see the same thing. Because I'm guessing that if they saw that, some of them at least would have said, wow, he's right. Stop that. Stop stoning him. He must be right. The very thing that they thought convicted the Christians of falsehood convicts the world of the righteousness of God.
Sure.
The plan was that Jesus would come. That he would be the message of God wrapped in the flesh, living, breathing among the people, teaching. That he would lay down his life like a good shepherd. That he would go to the cross and die and be buried and resurrected and then go to the Father. To where his followers could no longer see him physically. And because that's what happened, that exposes the world that their concept of right is wrong. concerning judgment. Because the ruler of this world has been judged. See, sometimes we think that's going to happen down the road. John chapter 14. Jesus has already said, the ruler of this world has been judged. Praise God?
That's right. Amen.
See, the world thinks that judgment is about might. Have you noticed? Whoever has the strength, whoever has the power, whoever has the money, they must be right. Have you ever heard the phrase, the victor writes the history books? And they're the ones who won, so they must be right. Now, we might question some of that. But there's that kind of mentality that's what judgment is all about. The people in authority judge. They're the ones who punish. They're the ones who condemn. And notice what Jesus did to judge. He died on the cross. And he left. His kingdom is not about force. His kingdom is not about establishing his authority by saying, you will obey me or I will kill you. It's come to the kingdom. It's your only chance. Come to the kingdom through me. Come to the kingdom of God. I have opened the way. I am the door. I've prepared a path for you. I paid the price. Come to the kingdom. I have died for you. Come to the Father. And he invites. His mission is a rescue mission.
That's right.
He didn't come to judge the world. I know that passage gets abused. I know. He came to save the world. But if you read a couple of verses down, which a lot of people don't do, it says, those who do not believe in me have already been judged. The ruler of this world has already been judged. The only question is, are you going to be on the side of the victor or are you going to be on the side of the one who's already been judged? And I know we look around today and there is chaos in the world. And it may seem like the ruler of this world, we're talking about Satan there, by the way. It may not seem as if he's already been conquered and judged. You guys see the video this past week of the guy that went to court? He's handcuffed and he runs out of the court and jumps over the edge. A balcony. I don't know how many stories he was up, but he didn't die, thankfully. See what he's doing? He's already been judged. He thinks he still has something left to say. Some avenue. That's Satan. He's already been judged. He's just throwing a fit about it. Right? Have you ever sent your child to their room? And they go, but they go hitting things along the way? Okay, I'm going to go to my room. There you go. They've already been judged. They just don't like it. And they throw a tantrum along the way. That's what Satan's doing right now. He knows he's lost. He knows he's been whipped. He knows he's been beat with a big ugly stick. And he doesn't like it, so he's throwing a tantrum.
That's right.
So, do we live where there's chaos all around us? Yes, we do. But here's the good news. The Son of God came and wore flesh and died on the cross so that everybody who believes in him could have eternal life.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's our message. The job of the Holy Spirit is not to be used as a source of getting people to do what we want them to do. The job of the Holy Spirit is to give the message of Jesus Christ. And to help us as we give the message of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because sometimes in the process, we stumble and we fall. And we want to give up. Have you ever been there? Last week, I was told some pretty bad stuff about the Bible study that I'm trying to do. I can't go into detail. I was just... There was a part of me that was saying, man, why do I even try to do this? Because it's the only message that matters. And I believe that everybody needs to hear the story of my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Because I want everybody to believe in Him. And I know that not everybody will, but I want everybody to believe in Him. And I know that Satan's going to try to keep that from happening. And I know that I'm going to be sometimes just worn out. I know that sometimes I'm going to get to the point where I want to give up and I feel like I'm just laying on the ground. And here's the good news. I have a helper that has dropped down beside me.
Amen.
To help me get up.
Yes.
The story of Jesus is too important not to tell. But we need help telling it.
That's right.
So we have the Holy Spirit. So that the world will know that what they think is right and wrong, they've missed the mark. What they think is judgment is not. There is a judge and there is a judgment. And that comes from God. So we continue to tell the story. And we thank God that we have the helper.
Amen.
If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, I encourage you. There is power in prayer. If there's anyone here that wants to know more about God and Jesus, I don't have all the answers. None of us here do, but we love to talk about God. Mm-hmm. And we love to talk about Jesus. And we believe that Jesus is the only way to God. If you want to talk about that, we would love to talk to you about that. Whatever you need, please come. Let's gather, we stand and sing.
Number 909. There's a fountain, praises for you.